This is Voices of Our World. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Deirdre and Don Imus are parents, and there's no greater advocate for the health of children than concerned parents. Besides promoting the Greening the Cleaning products to schools and hospitals, Deirdre has also written a cookbook, The Imus Ranch, Cooking for Kids and Cowboys, filled with healthy alternatives that even appeal to the pickiest kid. And when it comes to the controversy about the mercury preservative thimerosal in vaccines, Deirdre cautions parents that vaccinations are important, but it's equally important to be an educated consumer.
Not only is there the thimerosal, but they also use formaldehyde, which is a carcinogen, which is also a preservative. They also use phenols, which are carcinogens, which are also in cleaning products, unfortunately.
But the average parent going into a pediatrician's office doesn't know that.
No, they don't.
And we're not preaching against vaccines.
That's where I think there is this emotional and political thing going on, where parents, out of fear, then didn't vaccinate their child. And unfortunately, that's not smart to do.
No.
Unless they have other reasons, because there are other reasons people choose. But still, 80% of the population is vaccinating their child. Vaccination is very important, but the production of vaccination, the safety of that, is as paramount. People still don't know all the things that are in vaccinations. That's the first step. And then what about it? Are there harmful effects? That's the next step. Getting to the bottom of, is there a causal link with thimerosal and vaccinations to the rise in autism? That's an open question right now, because no one can honestly say emphatically thimerosal causes autism. The research isn't there. There's research, though, that's mounting that does suggest that there is some effect or something has happened because of these children being injected with thimerosal. So we need to have enough people be aware of that, educate, and then help to make the change. In fact, now vaccinations because of this have taken out the thimerosal. By 1999, they were asked to take it out by the American Academy of Pediatrics and other federal health agencies. Since then, by 2002, they were still, because they have a shelf life, pediatricians were still using thimerosal. And to date, even though, quote, they'll call it a thimerosal-free vaccination, the whole manufacturing process of vaccinations, in order to preserve the vaccination, they use mercury and then they filter that out in the process. So there's still minuscule, very small amounts, but not what was in it before. And this is what I tell parents. Ask the doctor first, is the thimerosal in this vaccination? But that's not good enough to just ask. Then ask, can I see the packaging? And you have a right to see the packaging. It's important until we know that all of this has been completely phased out.
Going back to the cookbook and the ranch, do you know how many kids you guys have entertained out there already?
Over 500 kids. Well, hosted.
Thank you.
Actually put to work. They come to the ranch to be little ranch hands and learn to be real cowboys and cowgirls. The whole philosophy of the ranch comes out of my husband and I working with these kids now for over 12 years. And we observed that all these kids that had cancer wanted to be treated like normal kids. That's the bottom line. In most cases, they weren't. They were being coddled, patronized, their responsibilities taken away from them. If they played sports, most of them no longer participated in sports. But there was a need there. And that was to instill in them their self-esteem through a strong work ethic and sense of responsibility. They begin, like all of us, to develop self-esteem again and self-confidence. And we've seen the unbelievable change. And I'll give you one example. This boy passed away a year to the date that he was at the ranch of a brain tumor. His father told me this story. He got home from the ranch. His father said he ran into the garage and he got his bicycle and he started speeding around the neighborhood. And his father was crying. He said, I know that doesn't seem like a big deal, but my son never got on his bicycle after he was diagnosed. He didn't have the confidence. And that's what the ranch is all about.
You feel a connection with these children. What's it like when you lose one?
Well, of course, that's never easy. We've lost over a dozen kids. We lost a girl last week. She was at the ranch last July. She had lung cancer. I have to say, that's the part, the only part that's really awful. When you say goodbye, you don't know if it's goodbye forever. But it makes it more worthwhile. It makes you realize how important it is for these kids.
I had a dream about this place.
Tell me.
On April 21st, Earth Day, President Bush and his handlers were forced to make a last-minute change in photo op staging. The president was scheduled to speak on his accomplishments in his stewardship of the environment, with the Smoky Mountain National Park as the backdrop. Trouble was, that morning, Tennessee meteorologists had to issue an unhealthy air quality alert. Smog as thick as pea soup might have ruined the president's image. The Smoky Mountain National Park is the most polluted of all our national parks, situated downwind from many coal-fired power plants. The Bush administration has signed legislation that allows thousands of the nation's dirtiest coal-fired power plants to upgrade their facilities without installing costly anti-pollution equipment. These plants are the leading source of environmental mercury pollution, a dangerous neurotoxin. Mercury in water sources ends up in fish, and the EPA warns that eating more than 3 servings of fish a week, even for a woman who may become pregnant, increases the risk that their babies may be born with lower intelligence and developmental disabilities. Still, the EPA went against the findings of its own most recent mercury study, co-authored by Harvard University, to back the president's policy. Now the agency is being sued by 9 states. Kathy Golden speaks with Nat Mund, senior Washington representative for the Sierra Club.
There are so many new pieces of legislation from 2003 to now that seem to actually deregulate standards on mercury. And I thought today it might be helpful if we explain, or if you explain, to the folks listening what the dangers are about mercury, because I believe it exists in more than one form, and where they might be coming in contact with mercury in our environment.
Sure. Mercury is a dangerous neurotoxin and developmental toxin. It affects developing fetuses as well as young children, leading to a whole host of developmental disabilities. It's been linked to, you know, delayed reading ability, potentially lower IQ, things like that. Mercury exists naturally in the environment, but it also comes from man-made sources. In the United States, roughly a third of the mercury produced comes from coal-fired power plants. Mercury isn't something that, you know, that the power plants produce. It's just, it's present in very small amounts in coal, and when you burn the coal, it winds up in the smokestack and in the air. It then comes down to the ground again in rain and winds up washing into our lakes and streams. There, it's converted into a more dangerous type of mercury, something called methylmercury, and it's absorbed by fish, and it's what's called bioaccumulates. As big fish eat little fish, they get higher and higher levels of mercury, and eventually people eat those fish and wind up exposing themselves to mercury. And in the United States, 1 in 6 women have high enough levels of mercury in their blood to put their unborn children at risk. 630,000 infants are born each year with unsafe mercury levels.
I had no idea it was that high now.
Yeah. It's very unfortunate, but thankfully, we can do something about it. We have the technology to reduce this. We've done so effectively from a couple of other major sources of mercury in this country, which are medical waste incinerators and combustors, places where you burn waste. Those also had a lot of mercury in them, and we've managed, through pollution control technology, reduce that mercury by 90% to 95%. And that same technology, with some tweaks, can be used on coal-fired power plants and would reduce the mercury there as well.
Wow. However, I mean, the current administration seems to be superlative at doublespeak. In like 2000, the EPA was talking about more regulations. And in 2003, they suddenly came out with a report that said that they were revising their own estimates of how much more hazardous mercury currently was to the planet. And yet, as of yesterday, there's more and more regulations coming out of this administration that actually allow for more pollution, lower caps.
That's right. In 2000, EPA, after a long process, possibly too long a process, finally decided that we had to control toxic pollution from power plants, and among the toxic pollution is mercury. And enforcing the Clean Air Act for toxic pollution means that every power plant, every factory, would have to reduce its mercury pollution. They would all have to do it. In 2003, the Bush administration came up with a plan where EPA said, well, maybe let's look at that again, deciding that mercury maybe wasn't as dangerous, which we think is entirely inappropriate because the studies that have come out have been showing more and more how dangerous mercury is. Not that it's less of a danger than previously thought, but that in addition to young children, there are recent studies pointing to problems with cardiac health, that for adults, it can be affecting the heart muscle. But regardless, the Bush administration proposed a plan which would allow polluters, power plants, to buy and sell the right to pollute mercury. Now, if we made everybody use this modern pollution control technology, we think that we could get a 90% reduction at all of these power plants, which would take us from about 50 tons of mercury pollution a year from sources in the United States down to 5 tons, and that could be done in 3 years, by 2008. Under the Bush plan, they're proposing what they call a 70% reduction goal by 2018, a decade later. But because of the way that their pollution trading plan works, this buying and sell the right to pollute, they actually estimate that they won't reach that 70% reduction level in 2018. And by 2026, they'll still be at less than 50% reduction. We have the technology to reduce this pollution now, and we have the obvious need to go ahead and do so.
Is there rationale for what they have done or are trying to do as obvious as it seems? They're so big business friendly and less so to the planet and to the citizens of this country. Is it really just to help out guys that are running factories and energy plants?
Well, an investigative report by the Los Angeles Times back in 2004 found out that several of the key paragraphs, sort of the key rationale for why they were doing this, what we think is an illegal plan, how they were doing it under the Clean Air Act, is lifted directly from a memo that was prepared by Latham & Watkins, which is a law firm that works for a group called West Associates, which is a coalition of Western power plants. So we know that the industry has essentially written this plan, that this is the plan that they wanted. You know, I'm not going to impugn motive as to why they wanted it, but we know that they definitely did, and that this plan doesn't go nearly far enough to protect public health and the environment.
But then again, they just did that with the credit card companies were allowed to write the bankruptcy bill. The pharmaceutical companies were allowed to screw up Medicaid. So the lobbyists are allowed to write legislation nowadays.
Well, they certainly did in this case. And we think that using technology that we have and technology that's emerging, we can really get at this problem. We can protect people from the dangers of mercury pollution, and that the need to do so is tremendous. The state of New York is suing EPA to try to block this bad rule from going into effect. That's a good thing. But, you know, if everybody could let their member of Congress know that they think that this is a bad idea, hopefully we can do something about it. Everybody should hear from their constituents. Issues like mercury pollution and smog and other forms of water pollution, folks need to let their elected officials, whether it's members of Congress or members of the city council, they should know that this is a serious concern for them and that we have the technology, we have the know-how, we can make our world a better place if we just have the will to use it.
Excellent, Nat. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
What about you? Have you made any changes for the sake of your health or your family's? Email us. Go to www.maryknoll.org/voices and just click on Contact Us. Or call us at 1-877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 1-877-MARY-KNOLL. Well, that's all for this week, and thanks for listening. Deirdre Imus and Nat Mund are just two of the voices of our world. This week's show was produced by Kathy Golden, and I'm your host, Eileen Bott. To suggest a topic or for more information on today's guests, just go to our program's website, www.maryknoll.org/voices. To get Mary Knoll Magazine in English or Spanish, please call 1-877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 1-877-MARY-KNOLL. If you missed a portion of this program, you can catch us on our website, www.maryknoll.org/voices. And please join us next time for more Voices of Our World.